This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you! Yeah you, in the car! Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Macca. And our very next guest is straight from the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission, Lauren Matthews, who heads up the education and community engagement side of the business. Good morning to you, Lauren.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the airwaves this morning. Lauren, I understand that you've done some very interesting research into the impact of COVID on humans. Tell us what your key findings are from that research.
So thank you for your interest in this. We undertook some research last year in the height of the lockdown. What we wanted to do is to try to unpack what are some of the existing inequalities that have been compounded by the lockdowns and the COVID-19 measures. So we focused on two groups of workers, parents and carers who are workers and disability, people with a disability who are also in the workforce. And we undertook a survey of them to really try to unpack what they were experiencing. And what we found when it comes to parents and carers, we found that they were having real difficulties in managing the balance of work and their work responsibilities and their caring responsibilities. We had 63% of carers and 48% of parents who were really having difficulties managing this. They were reporting that they were having trade-offs in having to care for their doing their responsibilities and trading that off with their work commitments. This had quite a number of consequences for our parents and carers that we found, that they were reporting some negative impacts around stress and sleep. And different groups of parents and carers, there were quite a significant impact. When it came to people with workers with a disability, their stress and alienation was reported at quite significant higher levels than other workers. They were also reporting having difficulties managing their disability under the COVID restrictions, in particular lockdown. They had difficulties in accessing flexible work in a disproportionate way to workers without a disability. So we really found that the impact of the lockdown measures were really perpetuating some of the existing inequality between two groups, those parents and carers and people with disabilities.
Lauren, so almost half of the people that participated in this research reported some of these experiences. Do you have any insights, given that we're an LGBTIQ plus radio station, do you have any insights into that subpopulation demographic? Are you able to say that, with any sort of authority through this research, that you're able to look at the experience of LGBTIQ plus people?
Well, we don't have the data disaggregated in that way from this particular survey, but we do know that of the people that we surveyed that responded to the survey, certainly people with disabilities and the parents and carers, of course there were people from the LGBTIQ plus community amongst them. But we don't have that. We don't have unique data to that intersectionality.
Yeah, fair enough. So this is, in many ways, confirms the experience a lot of us have had, even if we don't experience disabilities or have a parenting or carers role. But with this research, and I understand you're calling it snapshots, what are you going to do with it, and what are the implications of this?
Well, I think one of the really important outcomes of doing this research is what we've been able to identify is this rapid transformation, this unprecedented move to remote and flexible work has had impacts and opportunities. So what we've found is when it comes to the workplace, when it comes to flexible work, there's been a really positive reflection on the idea and the notion of more flexible work, the acceleration and the movement of workplaces to work more flexibly has been a really positive outcome. Workers report that they're feeling more productive. Workplaces are saying that they're thriving, even under and with remote workers. And we're also having families saying that they're spending more time with loved ones, which is all a positive. But what we can look to when we're looking into the post-COVID recovery, when we take out some of the factors like that make the current remote work a bit difficult, when we take out things like restrictions around how many people to your home, and we were to take out restrictions around how far you can travel, in the post-COVID recovery, we do have these opportunities that workers are able to be able to work more flexibly with better understanding of workplaces about the range of flexible options. That was one of our findings, that workplaces weren't necessarily had deep awareness of the way that flexible work can take place, the range of options. We also found this important connection when free childcare was offered during lockdown. It was quite an enabler for parents, carers and people with disabilities reporting that their work performance was able to improve with the free childcare. And we certainly saw a really positive
indication. Gee, that one's a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a no-brainer, really. I mean, that's why there have been advocates calling for, you know, subsidised or free childcare forever. Lauren, during the week there was some discussion about people not wishing to go back to the office full-time and wanting to continue to have a hybrid arrangement of working either from home or the office or both. Is this aligned with some of your findings?
Well, exactly. This being propelled into the future of a lot of workplaces had quite backward views on what it would mean to work flexibly. And there was that hesitation on workplaces that might have held the view that if you can't see a worker, then they're not working. But COVID has really debunked that. The rapid movement and transformation to people working from home out of necessity, but seeing that that was not a trade-off for work productivity and performance, and workplaces seeing that flexible work is not a barrier to their workplace performance and productivity levels. So that's been quite a positive going forward.
I have to say that at a personal level, I'm not sure that I want to go back to the office again. I'm quite enjoying working from home, and I don't miss the, you know, spending an hour on public transport or in the car getting from, you know, job to job.
I think, Tess and Lauren, in some of these areas, you know, where there's, you know, an employer or an organisation perhaps isn't understanding the extra stresses that are being caused by COVID, whether that's working from home, I often, you know, or others, I often wonder, you know, they're not invisible people. The people that are running, you know, businesses and organisations, in a lot of cases they have children and they have similar responsibilities. I'm always wondering, you know, why perhaps there's this, that people are feeling challenged. They feel they're not, their position is not being understood, when the people that are making those decisions are probably having to manage the same challenges. Do you have a view on that?
I think this comes back to some of these antiquated views on what it means to be at work, and these ideas that workers must be in one location, we all must have a line of sight over each other, and not looking at unconventional or more modern management techniques where you can supervise people at home, you can have line of sight over their productivity and understand what they're doing, and we can support people in remote work. So looking at all of the barriers that might have been there before from the employer point of view, and just being able to address those one by one and look at the different, how they have been addressed under COVID and all of the creative solutions to these problems.
Sounds like fascinating work, and I really appreciate your insights. Just quickly as we wrap up, what's next? What are you working on next?
Well, in terms of this work, what we'd like to do is to be able to follow up this research. We think that the data and the research is really important to be able to understand the experience better. We know that there's a lot of discussions about inequalities that have been perpetuated under COVID, whether it's high density households or inequitable access to health services and wealth, and looking at the different impacts. But when it comes to workers, we are seeing the need for a greater education, that employers understand their responsibilities to be making reasonable adjustments and not to discriminate on the basis of disability or parenting carer status. And also encouraging workplaces to listen to their voice and experience of their workers. That's another one of the outcomes that we think is very important messages for workplaces, that to understand the experience of what's going on with their people, what are those barriers and what can be addressed in the COVID recovery will be a really important opportunity. Mm. And of course, the complex issue of looking at childcare in order to keep workers engaged in their work will always be an important discussion to have.
Can I ask Lauren, do you want to go back into the office?
I do, you actually. I am split. I look forward to a split time where I have the opportunity to be at home, but I also miss my colleagues and our new commissioner. And we would all like to be, how many people have joined us and we haven't had the opportunity to welcome properly into our workplace. So so many people will be mixed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like a hybrid model.
That's what I want. Oh,
I think, a couple of days a week working from home or a couple of days a week in the office would be nice. We do need that human interaction.
I agree.
And it helps us, to actually develop what we're doing, our thoughts and how we implement decisions and how we look at things. So, I'd like a hybrid.
Lauren, thank you for your time this morning. Really great to hear about the work that you're doing. And keep it up. If I can put in a bid, can I ask that you perhaps look at the intersectionalities as well a bit more closely and also identify what the experiences of LGBTIQ people are as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Lauren.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.